Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman, and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. I'm continuing my mission to speak to 50 plus PMMs to find out more about their role, which teams they interact with most, why they got into product marketing in the first place, and a whole lot more. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ajit Gooman, Head of Product Marketing at Navar. An experienced product marketer, Ajit is an expert in pricing and is preparing to release his brand new book, Price to Scale, Practical Pricing for Your High-Growth Software Startup. Thanks so much for joining me, Ajit.
Thanks for having me, Lawrence.
Oh, no, not a problem at all. Thanks for joining us. So first and foremost, congratulations on the upcoming release of your brand new book. So it's really exciting news. So could you tell us, the audience, a little bit more about what the readers can expect diving into it and what prompts you to write it as well?
Yeah, totally. At Narvar, we've kind of had this saying now that, hashtag it takes a pandemic, that some of companies that we work with use this phrase. Like for me, it's really about going deeper into a topic, and kind of this pandemic let me do that. I've been owning pricing at Narvar for a year and a half. And as I started to get into this topic, one thing that I realized was there wasn't really a guide on how to do pricing kind of step by step. There were nice resources. There were like the 7 top strategies, the 9 best ways to do X and Y. But I had to synthesize a lot of information and talk to a lot of industry experts even before I could get my arms around how to best structure a project. So having done that, I realized that I basically am writing this book for myself, 2 years back in time. How should a product marketer or a product manager or even a CEO for that matter go about looking at their pricing step by step? And it does uniquely benefit product marketers because they have the more strategic view on things.
Okay, awesome. And what is it then, at the start of your product marketing career that made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
Yeah, that's a question that takes me back in time a little bit. I think what I really enjoyed when I started to do some projects that were related to product marketing back in the day was about the ability to talk to customer value and go beyond just like the products or features. So I got into product marketing in 2013 when I was at Medallia, and the company was growing really fast. I used to be originally in the implementations team, so I was mostly focused on technically deploying the implementation. And as I started working on new demos for our fast-growing sales team, what I realized was that the communication, it was really not about the features. It was really about understanding the market, understanding the buyer, their problems, and then communicating the value of the product. So I really enjoyed that piece, and I felt that that was really what the business was about. At least that was what go-to-market and value propositions were about. So, that's what got me interested. And what's kept me inside the profession and doing it all these years is really it's kind of more fun for me. Maybe it depends on, some people it may be less or more fun for, but just the ability to be strategic one day and be very tactically creative the next day, and wear so many multiple hats has been the most enjoyable fact of the profession.
Okay, brilliant. So can you talk us through a little bit about your career path from your initial role in product marketing to where you are now?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, I started my product marketing career at Medallia, where the company was growing really fast. Started off being more of the technical product marketer, working and building all of the demos that the sales team needed. And then became more of a generalist, did some amount of solutions marketing, did some amount of strategy work when I was at Medallia. And then have since then jumped around quite a few, smaller startups, and have seen a lot of different smaller environments, got punched in the teeth, so to speak, when, the businesses have been, somewhat very different and volatile in nature. And how I think my career really has evolved as a product marketer is really going beyond the so-called prescriptions or the way the things are done on paper. So there's like the theory of product marketing, right? And the theory of marketing, but then going beyond that and now going to any company and being able to almost as a doctor diagnose where they are in their life cycle, what their what their product market fit looks like, and improve upon that and improve upon their differentiation and communication into the market. So the growth really has been based on a bunch of experiences, the ability to kind of understand the state of product market fit in any one company, and then understand what is needed to take them to a higher growth phase. That's how I will kind of summarize it, but I'm happy to dive in any one specific area.
Okay. Well, yeah. So you started, or you had like your first product marketing role, did you say 2013? So that's like, you're going into your eighth year now. So, during that time, you've gained, extensive experience in the pricing principles that can be associated with product marketing. So in your mind, what are the essential fundamentals, if you like, for any successful pricing strategy?
Right. Pricing is interesting. The one thing I quickly realized once I was focusing in on this area is almost that the price point that we set for any given product is almost the least important thing. So really the most important things when it comes to packaging and pricing really starts from positioning, right? Do you understand the positioning correctly? And is your company aligned on the positioning properly? Because that has downstream effects on pricing. After that comes the packaging. Are your packages well designed for your target market and the customer segments that you're trying to sell to? And do they offer their needs properly? Then comes key decisions around pricing metric. So do you charge by per seat, per API call, per event? And that's a really critical and pivotal metric and can change, has a lot of effect on the sales dynamics as well as your revenue. And finally, there's the pricing structure, which is, do you have a linear model? Assuming a consumption-based pricing, do you have a linear two-part, three-part tariff? So there's a lot of structural components that go into pricing before the price point itself is set, right? $50 a seat or what have you. So that's basically the fundamental realization and what I communicate with folks when we start talking about pricing. Because many times I'll get the question, hey, I'm in this deal, and somebody's comparing my product to Slack, and Slack sells it for $1.07 a user, but that's, I can't compete with that. I'm like, well, then this is not what you think is a pricing problem may not be a pricing problem, because it starts from your understanding of the positioning, creating the right packages, offers, and eventually down to that conversation. So that's my, broad spiel on pricing.
Okay. And I mean, pricing for any company is just, it's pivotal. Do you get it right? But obviously there are instances where people, make mistakes and they get it slightly wrong, much to their detriment. So in your experience, where have you seen teams potentially make mistakes, and what advice could you give a product marketer to help them steer clear of making similar errors that could be avoided?
Right. Product marketers, more than any other function, have the greatest visibility into the elements I was just talking about of the positioning and packaging, and the greatest appreciation and empathy for the market. Given that, the thing is that the product marketer is able to, I think we'll have to cut this part. I'm forgetting the piece of the question that you asked. Could you repeat that?
No, it's okay. I was just saying that basically, pricing is, pricing is so important, but at the same time, people do make mistakes with them, with the price. Right. It can be so critical. Right. What can they do basically, of, what advice would you give to to help them steer clear of making errors basically when pricing principles in place?
Right. Okay. So I'll do it again. So basically, more than any other function, product marketers really are in the best position not to make pivotal pricing mistakes. So the pricing mistake isn't mispricing it at the end, saying, let's say you're competing against Zendesk. Zendesk sells their product for $100 per seat, and you price yours at $80 per seat or $120. That's not the pivotal pricing mistake. That can be changed. What's hard to change is your core set of value propositions, which are baked into your packages. And that's what's harder still to change is even making the decision of saying we're going to sell my our product by on a per seat basis. And when I wrote my book, I spoke to a lot of people. I spoke to people in companies like Gainsight, older heads of revenue at HelpShift. I spoke with people in companies like Mixpanel. And the number one thing that kept coming back is how crucial the decision was for the base pricing metric. Whether, you know, if you chose your pricing based on a per seat model or per, let's say, MAU model, in a, you know, customer service example, or if for Mixpanel's case, they did an per event model for a long time, and they just moved to a monthly traffic users model. That has the biggest consequences on pricing, actually. So those decisions last for a long time, and they have long-term implications on the sales efficiency and your revenue. So that's the thing. I think PMMs have a great opportunity to get right. And that's often the thing that, if it's not gotten right, can lead to a lot of pain.
Okay. And from your personal perspective, what's almost like your go-to approach when conducting like pricing strategies? You know, is it your personal preference almost evolved or changed during the, you know, during your career? Have you encountered different ways of pricing that you think is almost better than it was previously? You know, what's your favored way of doing things?
Right. I would say almost that there is no one way to do it. It's not a great answer, but it's always an it depends question. But what I have been able to crystallize is really what decisions are most important, and everything else for me then becomes noise. So the most important decisions are three key decisions. What is your set of packaging? What is your pricing metric? And what is your pricing structure? Every other decision can be changed, is easier enough. These three are the most pivotal decisions. And so when I look at it, my approach basically says, let me form an educated hypothesis on where the company stands. Is this an SMB, mid-market, enterprise? You know, which type of market is it? How is the company positioned in that market? And then I will come up with hypothesis around the packaging based on customer segments. There'll be different packages pertaining to each segment that solve their distinct needs. Then I will assign a pricing metric that is related to customer value, but it is also something that we can implement in the product, we can measure and track, and is justifiable. And so choosing, it, and it's a little bit more art than science, but I will come up with a hypothesis for the metric. And then finally, select the most appropriate structure. Pricing structure. So example of structure is you can have a linear model that says, hey, pay as you go. You can keep using us and pay only when you get, let's say, a sale. Like, let's say you had like an e-commerce checkout kind of product. But the problem is that's a very volatile impact on your revenue. You only make money on some days. You don't make money on other days. So the pricing structure kind of has to then go with where the business is in their life cycle. So more established companies may want to implement something like a three-part tariff, which is like a cell phone plan, and you get more assured commitment from customers upfront. So these three are, for me, the pivotal decisions that I make a hypothesis on. Then I will go do customer research, internal stakeholder reviews, and then finally come up with something that I will say, okay, this is my proposal. Now let's try to implement it.
Okay, sounds great. So moving away from pricing momentarily, could you just tell us a little bit more about your direct team at Narvar in terms of numbers and roles?
Yeah, so let me give you some context on the company. So we are a post-purchase customer engagement company. We just came up again in the Fast Company top 10 logistics. We're in the top 10 logistics providers list. But what we do really is, if you've bought anything from like a company like Cole Haan or Patagonia, you will get delivery notifications once your order is coming to your door. And then maybe when you want to return, you want to go back to a location near your home. You maybe want to return printerless, you don't want to print any labels, and you just want to go to like a carrier or network location and return the item. So we've built a lot of network partners that let you do that. So everything that happens post the point of purchase is what Narvar does, right? So it's a B2B2C e-commerce retail company. So product marketing here is really about making sure it's like any other companies, making sure that the products are successful, are launched properly. The team right now, our team is very small. It's actually just me and a content writer. The earlier part of 2020 was a little bit of a drawdown when, you know, we had a little bit of impact again, but luckily now we've gotten over it. We're hiring again. So we have 4 or 5 recs open in marketing. Currently we have a team of 4 people total. You know, a couple of people in India, a couple of people here, but we'll be going to 10 plus by the end of the year. So that's where marketing stands. That's also, I would say, not too counterintuitive for more of like sales led, you know, B2B companies. So that's kind of where we are, but we're also moving now a little bit more mid market. So we will expand our marketing team to meet those needs.
Okay. And in terms of the top 3 skills that you've accumulated during your product marketing career, what would you say those are that have helped you to get to where you are today?
Yeah, that's a good question. Initially, when I became a product marketer, I focused a lot on the core skills of positioning, messaging, being able to communicate ideas better to salespeople internally, so sales enablement. So I would say I built the base on positioning, messaging, one. Sales enablement, second. But I think overall, and unrelated to any other skill, I think the number one skill that has helped me actually be successful in any given role has been cross-functional soft skills. And these are the problem with product marketing really is not the problem of knowing how positioning or messaging is done, which is easy to learn. The problem really happens is when you have a company that's growing, let's say 50-60% year over year, you have new people joining every other day. You hardly have anybody really reporting to you, but you have to move the business in terms of go-to-market metrics or sales metrics. It's really about influence without authority. And the art of building consensus, the art of moving people in alliances that are loose, informal, and yet benefit, you know, self-interest of different stakeholders in a company. Once that is mastered, product marketing just becomes sort of like an orchestra conductor type of role. So that's what I have invested a lot of my energy learning the last few years. And that is also what's, as I become better at it, that's what's let me be more successful in the role as well.
Okay. And in a perfect world, where do you think that the role of a product marketing manager and a PM begins and ends? And do you think that there should be lines almost in terms of the responsibilities between the two roles?
But, you know, it depends. Originally, if you look at how these roles evolved in Silicon Valley, product managers were really more of the product marketers. And there were like these technical program managers who were responsible for more things at the feature development level. What's kind of happened, and you know, there may be different perspectives on why it has happened or moved this way. As companies like Google came into the ecosystem, product managers became very technical. And that's where the role of product marketing actually took off. That's at least my observation. Product managers needed to delve more deeply into the features exactly and focus in shipping products more intently and became less of the business managers. And so the role of, you know, the whole role of outbound product management essentially morphed into product marketing and working more on marketing campaigns as well. So the product marketer became more of the business side of the product and responsible for understanding the market, understanding positioning, understanding how the product will actually win. So that's you know, of course, both roles intersect in one company. One person may be doing expanded roles much beyond their scope. But roughly, I would say the PMM role is really the business, the person kind of more in tune with the business requirements of the product. Where the product managers nowadays tend to be more of the technical. Responsible for the technical features and shipping the features on time.
And in terms of the process of you know, introducing new products and features, what does that look like at Navar, and how does that compare to the previous places where you've worked?
Yeah, that's a good question. In any, the company which is growing really fast, its product launches are very interesting, because ideally what you want is you want perfect coordination with your product team. You want to know which features are coming out. You want, you know, storyboards developed much in advance. You want to know the positioning. If the company is really high growth, and I would say we are definitely in that bucket, sometimes there will be some features that you have, we have a lot of planning for and we've done in advance. And sometimes we'll be very opportunistic in releasing new partnerships or new features when we realize something has changed. So we are working on some, I would just call them stealth features right now, just given that they're not released. But those have been opportunistically done in the time of COVID that can help the company a lot. And then there are others that we have planned, you know, much more thoroughly. So that's roughly how I would say the product launch process kind of works here. Is we, part of the process is we define, okay, what is the positioning for a product? Why are we building this? Who is it for? And then assigning some sort of value to it. We are still a sales-driven company. So any product that we release, the easiest way for us to assess market feedback is to go to our sales reps who have been with the company for even more than 6-7 years and easily be able to test out ideas and kind of beta launch them into the market and see what the feedback is. So those are the ones that we have more planning around. And there are still definitely other products that, like I was saying, we are being more opportunistic where we will actually scram and do the work, let's say, in a couple of weeks and then launch it because it is a substantial new partnership or it's a feature that we didn't want to publicize too much. So there are definitely some of those as well.
Okay. And I mean, product marketing, it's an area where, you know, we're getting a lot of people, you know, coming in as, you know, newbies, you know, a lot of people are transitioning into the role. More people are staying in product marketing, as we found in our State of Product Marketing report in 2020. Nonetheless, you know, there's always parts where, as is the case with anything, everything is subject to improvements. So in your opinion, what do you think needs to change about product marketing to make it even better than it already is?
Yeah. I mean, there has been a lot of interest, and I will, say props to Product Marketing Alliance here for being one of the companies that have really shepherded the role and, you know, is providing a lot of resources for up and coming product marketers. So that's great to see. And credit to you for doing that. I feel what I'm going to say is a little bit, it could be controversial, but my opinion after having done this role for a long time is that the more we identify ourselves as a product marketer, the less we sometimes identify ourselves just as a CMO or just as a CEO or whatever have you. And by just defining ourselves one way, it can lead to silos and it can lead to lack of complete clarity on why we exist in a company. And sometimes why we exist isn't just because of, for the function that we're fulfilling. It's really in the context of the company that we are in. And the company can have some challenges that, you know, given if you think yourself less as a product marketer and just a very capable all-rounder, like midfielder in football, for example, then you can find opportunities that go beyond your function and be greater than, you know, just the identity of the PMM. So that's the only take I have. I think, yes, it's good that the function is growing and people recognize and coalesce around PMM as a set of skill sets and jobs to do. At the same time, I always am cautious about my own thought process and figuring out whether I am identifying with being a PMM too much.
Okay. And last but by no means least, because it's been a brilliant chat. I just wanted to kind of ask you if there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening to this episode of the podcast, what would be your advice to them to help them get the most out of their product marketing journey?
It's a fun journey. I would say there is no one path to success. there is no one prescription that I can provide. The only thing that has consistently helped me in my journey has been just a very simple simple principle of being customer focused at all times. Many times in product marketing, what tends to happen is we start focusing on the product a lot. We are product marketing after all. And there have been times when I've also been so in depth into the product that I realize it's been quite a while since, you know, even in any given company that I've spoken to the end customers myself, or I've done a tour and really empathized with the customers. And at the end of the day, this job boils down to customer and market empathy. So as long as this is something that you like, it comes intuitively to you, I think one can succeed in the role.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Totally. Thank you so much for having me, Lawrence.
Not a problem at all. You take it easy. Thank you very much.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.